Welcome to Word of Hope Ministries. Bible teacher Perry Stelter has been in ministry for over 10 years with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people seeking biblical reconciliation. His passion is making the Bible come alive. As Perry's wife, I, Angie, have seen God set the direction for this ministry since day one. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now here's Bible teacher Perry Stelter.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. Let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ before we begin our message today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would lead and guide us into all truth and show us the way we should go as we take a look at your word right now. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people prefer brand names, and they say that when you buy a more expensive brand name, they last longer, and you don't have to replace them later on. Some people like to just go to Dollarama or yard sales and go with whatever is cheapest and is available. I find personally that sometimes brand names are worth it if I can afford them, and other times I just go with the cheapest. But I also know that when you go with the cheapest, sometimes you end up going back for a better brand. So this can be very frustrating. Today, when we're taking a look at our story today about the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we're taking a look at what a true disciple looks like, how a true disciple thinks, and how a true disciple acts. When we read Matthew chapter 5-7, what we are doing is reading what has been called the Sermon on the Mount. So when we come to our passage of scripture today, we're coming to the end of Jesus' inaugural address to his disciples of what he expected of them, male or female, adult or child. He talks about being blessed, about hypocrisy, about murder, adultery, divorce, being materialistic, seeking, asking, knocking. All of these topics are part of this famous sermon within Matthew. So this is the context of what we're taking a look at today when we're taking a look at what a true prophet and what a true disciple looks like. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." When Matthew uses the word beware here regarding looking out for wolves who first appear as sheep and then turn out to be ravenous, vicious wolves, I love the language here and the specific words used. Matthew says to be aware, which also means to be on high alert, to be watchful, and to be aware of wolves in general, because I don't think there are any wolves out there that are not vicious. This is their nature. They are a wild animal, and they eat other animals to survive. And so this is their nature, and this is why we are to look out for them as we are taking a look at wolves trying to infiltrate the church. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves." So this whole concept of false prophets and teachers goes back to the Old Testament times, but it's clearly a teaching in the New Testament as well, where both the teacher and the teachings are revealed as false. And of course, they bring ruin upon themselves. A wolf amongst the flock of disciples can destroy a whole flock if you're not careful. Matthew 7:16 says, "You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" It's interesting how we go from the analogy of wolves and sheep to fruit. And the reason we do this is because we are comparing two different aspects of this whole topic of true prophets and disciples and false prophets and false disciples. So Matthew points out here, as he is quoting the words of Jesus, that just as it's ridiculous to get grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, So the same is true for the teachings of Jesus. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, as the church, you want luscious grapes and you want luscious figs that bring nourishment, not thorns that are prickly and will hurt you. And so it's interesting how we go from comparing sheep to vicious wolves and how we go from comparing luscious fruit to thorn bushes.
Hope sleeps without me. Her sweet dreams surround me, but I'm left out. I need a fix now to believe, to feel. These rooms are dark now. These halls are hollow, and so am I. She's hard to find now. To believe, to see. Hope is what we crave, and that will never change. So I stand and wait. I need a drop of grace to carry me today. A simple song to sing. It's written on my soul. Hope's what we crave. I won't turn to dust now. Let these tears rust now on my face. Give me the spark now to
Matthew 7 verses 17 to 18 says, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Now the analogy moves to bad fruit from thistles and thorns, and it's moving to a good tree and a good prophet and a good disciple producing good fruit. When we look at the original language with regards to bad fruit or the word rotten fruit, it also implies a diseased tree. Even when we look at trees that don't bear fruit, like forest trees that get infested with bark beetles, it's devastating. A good tree bears good fruit, and a good forest tree, I would add, produces good lumber. So there are many analogies going on here in this short teaching, comparing sheep and wolves, and good fruit and bad fruit, and good trees and bad trees. Diseased trees. And so this is all pointing to the false prophets in the Old Testament and false disciples, false teachers in the New Testament. Both apply to our lives today because they're both speaking of the same thing. And so what we want as true disciples of Jesus Christ is fruit, fruit, and more fruit. A good tree produces good fruit, luscious fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit that is rotten. The sign of a true disciple is the fruit that they bear. It is not only good in nature, which reflects the goodness of God and his son Jesus, but it is also abundant in nature. Amen? Amen. Using horticulture was what resonated the most with this audience, but yet it still resonates with us today. Still. John 15 verses 1 to 2 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. And so this is Jesus speaking. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. So here we see Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John as well. This time John mentions that true disciples not only produce good fruit, but there will be an abundance of that fruit. So here we see the whole process of multiplication going on here in discipleship. And so this is a personal application for us. So we have learned to watch out for wolves that appear as sheep, and the reason is so we don't get destroyed and devoured, because wolves are vicious in nature. Then we learn that when we embrace good teachings by good teachers of the word, that this will result in producing good fruit, and there will be an abundance of this fruit, because obedience always follows good teachings. Amen. Amen.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love.
Matthew 7, verses 19 to 20 says, "So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire." Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now we see another shift going on here and a progression of thought. The tree that produces bad fruit is destroyed in the end, in this life and the one to come, because this is a sign of a non-believer being deceitful. So here we have another perspective on bearing good fruit and fruit that will last and multiply. We see that this good fruit is our actions. It's not only about what we believe in our heart, but it's also about what actions come from those beliefs. And so good teachings, true teachings of Jesus Christ will result in good fruit and fruit that will last and that will be multiplied. So back in Matthew 3 verses 9 to 10 it says, "Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." And so here, my brothers and sisters, is another picture of God's judgment, and that coming from a Christian family does not automatically make you a true disciple. You must internalize it. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." So here we have belief and action going hand in hand again, which is another point of personal application here. We can come to church every Sunday and raise our hands to the air, but if we don't put into action an extension of those raising of the hands, you won't have fruit that will last and be reproduced. Matthew 7 verses 22 to 23 says, "On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" So here we have Jesus referring to the Sadducees, Pharisees, teachers of the law, and today that can apply to anyone who fits into the category of being a false teacher. The day of judgment here is explained in Isaiah 2:11 that says, "Human pride will be brought down and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment." We have the day of judgment being explained as well in Revelation 20 verses 11 to 15. "And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." Verses 13 to 15, "The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." So here we have the final judgment for those who never knew Jesus and didn't believe in him. And I find it interesting how scripture talks about the tree of life in Genesis and the book of life in Revelation. These are some interesting observations that can obviously be studied more.
A thousand times I've failed, see your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. Listen, your will above all else, my power.
Matthew 7:22 says, "But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So here we see these false prophets and false disciples as God's law breakers. They are put into the same category as criminals in our society, but obviously much more severe and with more severe eternal consequences. It's possible to be pardoned in our society from your crimes, but when somebody is this type of lawbreaker and doesn't repent, they are facing God's judgment. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And so here we have on door number one, a house that is built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life and stand strong. Door number two is we have a house that is shattered because it is not built on a good foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the flood waters rise and winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Once again, verses 26 to 27, we've gone back and forth here a little bit. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And so here we have pictures of destruction for those that are false prophets and those that are false teachers. In our world, we like brand names, and if we can afford it, we usually buy it because it feels like the real thing. And so the same is true about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants disciples that base their lives on the true teachings of Jesus, and anything that is not of that quality will not last. But those that base their lives on the true teachings of Jesus, they'll have fruit. They'll have good fruit that will last. They'll have fruit that will reproduce. And when the storms of life come along, their house will stand. And so we have sheep, not wolves. We have good fruit, not bad fruit. We have good tree, not bad trees. And we have a solid house. All being talked about here as analogies when talking about being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word. I thank you in Jesus' name for your teachings. I pray that we would follow your teachings and not be guilty of falling into the category of being a false teacher. Help us, Lord, to not only listen to your word, but also live it out in our lives. As we're building the kingdom of God, as we're living out this righteousness that you're talking about in Matthew's gospel. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word of Hope Ministries with Bible teacher Perry Stelter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. For more information, go to wordofhopeministries.ca.